Let us pray. Almighty and loving God, we thank you and praise you for your presence with us now, and ask in Jesus' name that as you continue to draw us closer to yourself, Lord, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. That as you seek us, we will find you. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. There are truths, promises that God has given to us, truths and promises about faith and the law of God. I believe many people have not truly come to realize all that is found in the book of Galatians in regard to the promises of God and the truth of God. Are you listening? The first job I had out of college was for a small traffic engineering firm. At one point, I was sent to New York to do some work with my boss. We were catching a 6 a.m. flight that morning. So never having done this, I left really early, and many of the lights on Middle Belt were just blinking yellow. There were hardly any cars on this 15-mile trip. And as I neared the airport, I came to a solid red light. And so I stopped. All of a sudden, a car comes up, barely stopping, and blows through the red light. I couldn't believe my eyes. The guy blew the stoplight off. Yes, there were no cars except for the two of us, but he broke the law. Where were the police? The man broke the law. Of course, the next question you should be asking yourself is this: did I then follow his example and go through the red light? I came upon a stoplight the other day and thought about its purpose, the stoplight. Does the light dictate law? Or is its real purpose to help people safely navigate the intersection? Now, I feel the light's main purpose is to help people navigate the intersection. But the law does exist. For instance, when you come to a stoplight and the light is red, what do? You stop. And when you come to an intersection where the light is green, what do? You go through. And when the light is yellow, what do? For some of us, the answer is you go very fast. Yellow is to tell people that the light is going to turn red. So if you can stop safely, then stop. If you cannot, then proceed with caution. Of course, yellow light has become the infamous time when people taking left-hand turns on a busy street take that turn. So you have to be careful. Needless to say, the traffic light guides us. But when we don't follow the direction of the light, then we have broken the law, and worse things can happen. Now, as a nation, we have been built upon the premise that all people are created equally. And as such, we have certain unalienable rights to live as free people. And to allow us to live in freedom, we have laws which, in essence, allow us to cross an intersection safely. The law, on one hand, protects us. It shows us how to live. And on the other hand, it convicts us when we do wrong. Now, if you remember this pivotal story in the Old Testament, God came to Abraham and told him that he would create a great nation of people from Abraham's descendants who would worship and glorify God. They would be a blessing, God says, to all people. These descendants would grow in number, move to Egypt, escape famine, but eventually become enslaved again. They would cry out to God. God would send Moses to free them from the grasp of the Egyptians. And Moses would eventually go to Mount Sinai and receive what from God? The Ten Commandments. He would also receive the law from God. 613 laws. God told the Hebrew children, the Israelites, that these were regulations and decrees that they were to live by. That they were to live by. Keep that in mind. The laws were for the Hebrew children. They were to guide the Hebrews into a life of holiness, to show them how to live. They were also to help them become separate from the other cultures around them, to help them to focus on a relationship with God. And the law, of course, shows them when they're doing things right, and it shows them or convicts them when they're doing things wrong. So did you hear the purpose of the law of Moses? It was how to live, and it was to let them know when they did wrong. So the law, on one hand, protected them, showing them how to live. On the other hand, the law convicts them when they're doing wrong. Now, maybe like me, you grew up thinking you had to follow the Big Ten. That is, the law, in order to be good enough, you had to follow the Big Ten, to go to heaven. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, you won't go to heaven. If you don't go to church on Sunday or Sunday school, you're not going to go to heaven. If you don't read the Bible, you're going to hell. Don't. It seems to me at an early age to be a Christian revolved around following a bunch of rules. Really, I don't remember a time growing up, even into adulthood, when the emphasis of going to church was to be in relationship with God, to worship God. More than just believing God, more than just following a bunch of rules, more than just towing the line, but getting to know God, to love God, and to follow a lifestyle example set for us by Jesus. When Paul first encountered the Galatian people, he helped them to understand they could all, both the Jews and the Gentiles, have a relationship with God the Father by believing in Jesus as their Savior. It was all about having faith in Jesus, God's Son. But the problem arose. Some of the Christians, Jews, were telling other new Christians that they needed to follow still some of the laws of Moses. In other words, belief in Jesus wasn't enough. Paul firmly comes to a point in this letter where he reminds them of this truth, of a truth going back all the way to Abraham. And the truth is this: faith in God has always been enough. Faith in God has always been enough. It's never been about following rules. It's not about do's and don'ts. Paul says to the Galatians, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Children of Abraham. Read the rest with me. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now, Paul doesn't say those who rely on faith and the law are blessed. Paul doesn't say those who rely on the law are blessed. But only those who rely on faith are blessed, for both the Jewish nation and the Gentile nation. All people. This is the promise Paul is talking about. This is not the promise, is it, that you grew up with? Is this not the promise you hang on to today? Faith and faith alone? It is this promise that God made with Abraham to be a blessing to all people. And he made this promise before Abraham even had a child at 75 years old. And his wife was already past childbearing age. Yet he believed God, Scripture says. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. As righteousness. And so before Jesus, belief, faith in God's righteousness was enough. And that righteousness has now been made available to you and me through Jesus Christ, who willingly sacrificed himself on a cross for our sake, paying our penalty so that by faith in him, we might not just have eternal life in heaven, but have an everlasting life, have an everlasting relationship with God who created us. Now, Paul goes on to write this. Read it with me. The law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. We are not made secure by following the law. We are only made eternally secure by faith. By faith. This covenant that God made with Abraham was established prior to the giving of the law. Before the Hebrews even knew there was law. Have I been clear? Have I said enough that God initially began this believe by faith with Abraham, which superseded the law? Because we want to stand on the promises of God, at least I do, and not be led astray to live a life of do's and don'ts. Because we want to stand on these promises. For Paul says further on down, for if the law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. You know, as I read this, our eternal security has always been based on faith in something, in someone. And Paul is arguing this point to a group of people who knew this truth, but are somehow being led astray to say that they must follow the law also to inherit eternal life. So then, I guess the question around my mind is, what do we need the law for? What's the purpose of the law? As stated, the law was given to help the Jewish nation to live lives of holiness, to help them be in communion with God. But the law, Paul clearly says, does not impart life. In fact, the law shows that we will never be good enough. For no one can keep the law perfectly. Even if we only used the Big Ten commandments as a basis for the law, nobody could even keep those. I mean, who has not placed something in their life above God? Who has not misused the name of the Lord's name? Who has not missed a Sunday of worship? Who has not said something about their parents that wasn't honorable? Who has not told a lie, no matter how small? Or taken something that wasn't yours, envied somebody else's possession, hated somebody, which Jesus calls murder, or lusted after somebody, which Jesus calls adultery? Who can hold their hand up and say, yes, I have kept just the 10 perfectly? You see, the law shows that we will only always fall short of God's perfection. Paul says in Romans 3:20, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. That through the law, we become understanding that we are imperfect people, that we have faults, that we will fall short. You see, the law lets us know no matter what, even on our best day, we will fall short of the glory of God. We will sin. We will be disobedient. And if it's not an action, it's something we think. And if our eternal security was based on the law, we would all be on the outs. We need God's grace if we're to enter into an eternal relationship with God and to become righteous before God. And to become righteous before God is to trust in Jesus, whose blood was shed on a cross to cover over all of our sins, all of our wrongdoing, all of our disobedience. Even as a driver who here hasn't rolled through a stop sign, exceeded the speed limit, maybe ran a red light. Tell me you've never crossed a double yellow. Yet somehow there are some people who think that they will never be good enough to go to heaven, which is what the law reveals, which is what we need to understand. And so the problem is that they don't know about faith in Christ, and they end up drifting away from God, from any sort of relationship with God. In today's escalation of violence, radical Islamists are willing to die and take others with them because they believe they are following their law, and that by doing that, that will get them into heaven. And the thing with this kind of faith is that they too are children of Abraham, the one to whom God gave the promise, that faith, that one would get to heaven, that by faith that one would get to heaven. Yet for the radical Islamists, not all Muslims, not all Islamists, but radical Islamists, it is a works-oriented faith as far as I can tell. And we each face people in our lives who need to hear the good news. Some who have been driven by perfection to achieve righteousness from God need to know that it's not about what you do, but it's about what you believe or who you believe in. Maybe they were told a bunch of don'ts growing up. Maybe they were told by their faith leaders that they had to toe the line in order to be good enough for God. And so these people will struggle. Just having faith in God is good enough. And that through faith, that they can have an assurance of an eternal destiny with God in the heavens. Our freedom is found in the promise of life through faith before the law was even given to Moses. And then Jesus came and reiterated what true life was. And that is found by faith in himself. And by faith in Jesus, we can experience the peace that passes all understanding. Friends, you have a treasure. You have a treasure that many in this world are still seeking in the midst of uncertainty. I was looking at some statistics for our area the other day. Did you know that 72% of people believe that God is love and invites the world into a loving relationship? 72% of the people in our area. 65% of the people in our area would say that they have a personal relationship with one living God who is Lord and Savior. 65% believe they have that personal relationship with God. Yet on any given Sunday, on a best Sunday, less than 20% of all people will attend a worship service of any kind at any church. Friends, we must be reminded that people are not attracted to church because we follow a set of laws or a set of rules. Friends are attracted to communities of faith, of people who love each other and support one another, who welcome the stranger and help each other when life has them down, where faith in and a deep love for God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are lived out in joyful celebration. Do you joyfully celebrate God each and every day? And where those who are not there yet feel safe in exploring what it means to have faith in Christ. To have faith without the feelings of condemnation because they didn't follow a set of rules. Where all questions of faith are safe to ask Can you imagine somebody coming in here and saying, God didn't create anything? Do you think that they would feel safe if we said, yes, he did? You've got it wrong. Of course they wouldn't. But maybe we could help show them why it is we believe what we believe without condemning them for their belief. Give them room to live and to grow in their understanding of God. Jesus extends this promise to us of being made right or righteous with God. A promise that comes by faith. Somebody will come in here by faith, and they're not going to believe everything you do in regard to the Bible. But does that mean they are on the outs? Or that God's just still working on them? After all, I think God's still working on us, isn't he? Has anyone obtained perfection yet? Does everyone know every word in the Bible back and forth? I didn't think so. And yet sometimes we stand with others who don't believe or who barely believe, and we look like we do. We act like we do. And we need to remember that we're all on a journey of faith based on a promise. And Jesus extends this promise of being made righteous or right with God, not if we follow certain laws or rules, but if we believe him, follow him, and serve him with all of our, what, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number one law. To the very end of time. Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you that you remind us that it's not what we do, but it's who we know. And God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit guides and directs us to live lives that are pleasing to you. Lives that experience the peace of your presence. Lives that are filled with joy because of our knowledge of you. And God, that you would help us to live out our lives like that, standing on these promises that we promise to follow with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Give us that strength, Lord, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.